Welcome. I'm Christina Michelle, inviting you to join me for Culture Rich Conversations, an ongoing feature of Juno Afternoon. This week, we're highlighting Alaskan Black business owners. My guests today are Tracy Parrish and Tracy Gatewood. Ms. Parrish is an insurance business owner from Anchorage, and Ms. Gatewood is a consulting business owner from Fairbanks. Both of these phenomenal women have amazing stories that not only showcase the hard work and dedication needed to be successful business owners, but also their commitment to going above and beyond in their communities. This afternoon, we will learn what it takes to start a business, how to build clientele, along with how to go from breaking even to earning a profit here in Alaska. With dedication, commitment, and discipline, my guests today have succeeded in reaching their goals, and after today, you can too. From KTOO in Juneau, this is Culture Rich Conversations.
Culture Rich Conversations is made possible by a grant from the Social Justice Fund Grant Program of the Alaska Community Foundation.
Culture Rich Conversations on Juno Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juno homes since 2006. Learn more at goodsalmon.com or 907-321-4997.
The Black Awareness Association would like to take a moment to recognize that Culture Rich Conversations is broadcast from Thlinkit Ani. We acknowledge those families who made use of this land and waterways for thousands of years and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and future generations. Gunalshish, thank you.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.
Welcome to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm Christina Michelle. I'm joined today by guests Tracy Parrish and Tracy Gatewood. Welcome, ladies. Thank you so much for being here. I am eager to get started, but before we do, can each of you tell our listeners more about yourselves? And going forward, I will refer to you as Miss Gatewood and Miss Parrish, since I think this is the first time we've ever had two guests that have the same name at the same time on the show. So, Miss Gatewood, if you can introduce yourself and share a little bit about your business and anything that you would like us to know.
Okay, well, first off, thank you so much for inviting me to be part of the show. I'm really excited for today's interview. So I am the owner of G2 Diversified Services, which is a strategy and HR consulting business that my husband and I started back in 2016 after I left the school district as the executive director for human resources. I have been in Alaska for about 30 years now. I'm married, wonderful husband, Bernard Gatewood. I have two adult children and two wonderful grandchildren. So that is a huge passion for me, just the family, the community, and just trying to ensure that I'm doing my part to be a good citizen. And one way that I do that is through the work that I do in the business.
That is so awesome. Can you tell us about the strategy and HR business? Can you elaborate a little bit about what that looks like, the services that you offer?
Sure. So as I mentioned, I started the business back in 2016, and it's two prongs. One is people and one is processes. So I work with a variety of organizations that either have issues with people or processes, or that are trying to get ahead and refine what they're doing. I also, starting in 2020, I took a little side detour. So I'm doing a lot of anti-racism work as well. So the strategy and HR pieces are HR consulting proper. So if there's issues that deal with human resources, I work with organizations to address them. That can include things such as executive coaching and mentoring, because oftentimes people will rise in an organization, but they don't have the skill set needed to be the most effective leader that they can be. So I'm working with those executives to help them develop their skill sets. I also do customized trainings for organizations because, again, if your line staff don't have the skill set and the tools that they need to be successful, you will run into problems within the organization. I do a lot of strategic planning with organizations, and that's the process people pieces, because organizations, in order to be successful, they don't need to be accidentally successful. There needs to be some strategy that they're working towards that's very deliberate. So I work with organizations in that realm. And then also I do quite a bit with nonprofit organizations, just helping nonprofit organizations shore up their structures, making sure that boards understand their roles and responsibilities, making sure the chief executives of nonprofit organizations have the supports that they need in order to be effective in whatever their mission might be. So those are some of the primary components of G2 Diversified Services.
Okay, and what's the average size of the organizations that you work with?
I can't say that there is an average size. I have worked with individuals who were attempting to start businesses all the way to federal agencies. And I work across the state. So for instance, some of my newest clients are in Prince William Sound and in Kodiak. So I work with large federal organizations. Some of my clients are UAF, the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Okay.
Ken Ross Gold is one of the larger organizations that I work with. And again, from very large down to small individual one person organizations. So no real average.
Okay, good to know. And you actually answered my real question, which is, you know, if somebody is just starting out and they wanted to work with you and they're like a solopreneur, could they hire you? So you answered
absolutely.
That. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to dive a little bit deeper into your story and what motivated you to get started, and just a little bit more of the details of your journey. But right now we're going to move over to Ms. Parrish, her name is also Tracy. So Ms. Parrish, welcome. And I would love for you to just share with us about who you are and what you do and how you started with your Black-owned business here in Alaska. So, okay, she's on mute. She's unmuting right now.
Okay, can you hear me okay now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, beautiful. Well, my name is Tracy Parrish. A common name today, a good name to have today, it seems like. And I'm the owner of Alaska Pacific Insurance Agency, and I've been in business now. We just made our 24th year in business.
Wow.
So looking forward to, yes, I know, right? Looking forward to the next 24 and so many more after that, and be able to pass this down to my family. So, yeah, so that's me, Tracy.
So, Ms. Parrish, how did you decide to get into insurance?
It was not intentional, but I purposely decided to accept the challenge. My business was an opportunity set up for my boss at the time, and I was offered it in default with parameters that resulted in a partnership. So I reviewed the offer, talked this up with my father, and then in 10 days, I made the purchase. So within the first year, I bought out my partnership, and here I am again, like I said, 24 years later, sole owner with an amazing team. Yeah, so it was not intentional. I just wanted to teach fifth grade, and that's what I want to do. I want to teach fifth grade.
I love where life takes us, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so I have some questions for both of you, and to keep it kind of organized as possible. How about Miss Parrish? I just have you answer first, and then Miss Gatewood, okay. If you'd like to add anything, you can answer. Okay. All right. So I'm going to ask about how difficult it was to get started with opening a business in Alaska. I've heard, and I also own a business here. I've heard that it's actually one of the easiest states to get into business, especially for women. So has that been your experience? Ms. Parrish, you first.
Okay, so this may be an odd answer to some people. So the difficult part was not actually starting the business because of the way it came about to me, but I'd say the difficult part was the years prior to preparing myself to be ready for this opportunity. To be ready so I didn't have to get ready. So working as a maid, a receptionist, a bank teller, a bagger. Also, I was only 29 years old, so I was still trying to figure out who Tracy was. I had a new family, a new daughter, and I had only been in the insurance field for 2 years. So what was difficult for me was all of that. And so once I got into this position, I was prepared, I would say. I didn't know I was prepared, but the years prior to that, all the hard work that goes into developing yourself was happening. So it made it a little easier.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Gatewood.
That makes sense.
It does. Yeah.
So I would agree that the actual start of the business was not that difficult. I mean, you basically get a business license, figure out what you want to do. Mm-hmm. So anyone can start a business. It's the being very deliberate in what does that business look like? What is your passion? Is it something that you can sustain? And I think for me, we started the business after I gave my husband the "your retirement is not my retirement" speech. and that lasted for about 6 months. And off and on through the years, we had talked about starting a business because like Ms. Parrish, I have developed skills over the years. It's skills that served me very well in the business, but having kids in school, making sure that we had medical insurance and things of that nature, it just wasn't the right time. So when my husband retired, and he's a tier one state employee, the insurance was in place, we knew that we needed to have more alignment with his life and my life. It was kind of the ideal time. And for me, once I made the decision, which was very hard to walk away from what you know, walk away from that retirement and that security. But once we made the decision and I made it clear that I was starting a business, before I even had a business license, I had my first client reaching out saying, "Hey, can you help us?" So not very difficult to get started.
Okay. I find it interesting. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Parrish, did you want to add to that?
And I purchased a pre-existing business. So the foundation had already been laid for me.
Okay. You both talk about what you had to develop within yourselves to be a successful business owner. Can you elaborate on some of those qualities and attributes?
So for me, I had to learn that I was okay being me. I'm flamboyant. I am very flamboyant, actually. I like to look at myself as a very exciting person. I love colors and I love people and I love things and I love depth. I might wear a tie, but I might have a big diamond brooch on one side and some blue lipstick on the other, and some type of hairstyle, but that's who I am. And I learned very early in my career that being who I am is okay. And I don't have to be like everyone else to be successful. And I also realized in being who I am, I represent more people than not. So I'm able to communicate more. I was able to have better business relationships and to inspire. And I was able to grow more because I was just being who I am. It was easier to remember, and it was a safe place. It was just fun. It still is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that authenticity and I imagine being who you are unapologetically, mm-hmm. that draws the ideal clients to you because you're congruent with yes. your messaging and who you are and your life and your business. Mm-hmm. They all go together. And yeah, I can see how that's really, really mm-hmm. important.
And I learned that I'm the only person who needed to believe in me. Mm. I need more people to support me. But I was the only person that needed to believe in me. My parents believed in me, my family, friends, loved ones, all of them believed in me. But when I realized that I did, then I was okay too.
Love it. Thank you, Ms. Parrish. Ms. Gatewood? Mm-hmm.
So qualities to develop. So unlike Ms. Parrish, I am an introvert off the scale. But I'm a fixer and I grew up, just due to my background, growing up, which was not the best. I developed a skill set very early on in that I create order. I create order in my personal life and I create order in my professional life. The other skill set that I have is I set a very high bar for myself and for others because I really believe people will live up or they will live down to the bar that you set. So it was really just, so that was, I think, the foundation of the qualities that I had that I bring to the business. And then it just so happened that through my professional career, I started out in the medical field. And then, you know, life just throws you curveballs. And I ended up working in nonprofits and developing skills through that work. I was a very young leader, very young in leadership positions and oftentimes supervising people who were much older than me. And then at the same time, being sandwiched between supervisors who were horrible. So I learned how some of my leadership characteristics from people who I didn't want to be like. Mm-hmm. So through the experience with working through nonprofits, working on my undergraduate degree, my graduate degree, which is in business, that led me into grants management, which is about where I, honed those financial skills that I needed. Also the compliance skills. And then that, again, in the crooked road led me into HR. So through those experiences, I was developing the ability to look at an organization, help the organization in partnership figure out what's not working for us or what do we need to do better, help the organization develop a plan that didn't need me because, of course, I can be there and do it for you, but my business model is based on when I walk away, you need to be able to continue to move mm-hmm. forward. Mm-hmm. So through all of those experiences that I had, it prepared me to work with a different, wide range of organizations to help them do better, to be better.
Mm-hmm. What's something that you wish that you knew when you first started out, that you've learned that you know now? Ms. Parrish, I'll let you go first.
Well, since I was fresh 29, I have this thing that I can save the world. And that's just my personality. It's always been that. It's matured quite a bit. So I'm not doing that. But I wish I knew then that I can't save the world, that people have to be willing to save themselves. Also that, I just ran a big Build-A-Bear shop. And so I was inserting the hearts and inserting the minds and the brains, but I can't save the world. Everyone doesn't want to help either. Some just want what you have to offer. And I wish I would have understood that sooner, because I was constantly trying to, just help and build people that weren't really interested in being built.
Thank you. Great answer. Ms. Gatewood, any thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's similar to Ms. Parrish, and it's okay to walk away. Mm-hmm. I have had a very hard time my whole life failing. I could probably count on one or two fingers the times that I feel like I've truly failed, but it's come at a great expense, in that I will run myself into the ground physically, mentally, and emotionally trying to save, you know, the organization. And sometimes you just have to say, hey, this is not a good work relationship. When we started this relationship, I thought this was the direction we're going. This is not a healthy direction for either of us. And so let's just revisit. And sometimes it's like, let's just separate and let's go our separate ways and let's call it good. Because if the work is so draining that you can't function and meet your other, requirements in life. And for me, that's other business commitments, but also my family. If I can't meet those family obligations, then something's wrong. Mm-hmm. So I wish early on I had been able to just make that assessment sooner before draining the well dry. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I'm going to ask how both of you stay staffed, because this is a huge epidemic in the United States, maybe even across the world. But everywhere you go, you see now hiring, help wanted signs. And so what has your experience been, especially since 2020? And, what do you think attributes to the lack of people wanting to work these days, and how do you stay staffed? Big question, I know.
Well, how do I stay staffed? And I'll start with that one. Again, it goes back to you better stay ready so you don't have to get ready. So my staff consists of some very unique individuals. And so I've been very fortunate, and I sold into them early in life. So my brother runs my Georgia office of 11 years. My sister, she spun off, has her own office now. Chris has been there, and my brother, 12 years. My sister, 11 years, and of her own office, she spun off. And then I have my key person, Tynika, she held it up when I was away, when I had to be gone, and she holds it up now. So she's been there, I think she's going on 14 years here. So I still have my key people. So I've been very fortunate in that respect that I still have the key people, and then I'm an active owner, so I'm there. Now, the other question, how do you keep, I don't know. Before I like to contribute, I'd like to think that because I'm an amazing boss and I build, revive, inspire, and express.
Yes.
And so that's what I want to believe. And I am that way, but I was just doing a live yesterday trying to ask people, what are you doing? How are you paying your bills? I mean, I'm really not trying to be in your business, but I am curious. I drove by all these, I'm hiring signs, and I'm just wondering, are we all DoorDashing? Are we all Etsying? What are we doing? So I just recently hired an amazing, amazing agent. And then I operate in 18 other states now. So the whole thing with that is to get work from home. So we're slowly building that. That seems to be working.
Okay.
It's scary. And I've already had to release people in the first month because it's scary. Mm-hmm. And people are taking advantage of situations and the distance and things of that nature. But I'm getting ready now so I don't have to get ready later, because this is the new way. So I'm still working that out.
Nice. Thank you, Ms. Parrish. Ms. Gatewood.
So the question around how do you stay staff? G2 Diversified Services is Tracy Gatewood with Bernard Gatewood being my strategy consultant. So when we started the business, it was a partnership with the understanding that the business was based on my skill set and he would dip his toe into the pond as needed to support that. And then that's kind of morphed into he's my strategy. You know, if I need to bounce ideas, he's the person that I can really trust 100%. So I don't have a staff that I work with. I do have a couple of subcontractors that I work with. And also I maintain partnerships. So if I'm maxed out, I can reach out to some of my partners who are in similar work and say, hey, do you have capacity to work with this client? But what I've found, which it still amazes me all of the time, is people are willing to wait. So I maintain a wait list. And right now I have a wait list into the new year. And people will reach out and say, hey, I heard about you. We want to work with you. And I could say, well, that's fantastic. But what's your timeline? And they would say, okay, well, soon as possible, as soon as you can get to me. And I say, well, I'm into, you know, March, April of next year. And they say, okay, we will wait. So people have been willing to wait. So it's not been stressful to try to have staff. And we have a strategic plan for G2 Diversified Services, and we will take it off and dust it off and take it out and dust it off and go, okay, are we ready to grow the business? And every single time we keep coming back to no, because this business is my happy space. This business was in addition to designed to provide a service. It was built to help me have a healthy work-life integration. And if I grow the business, then it won't be the same because it will create the same level of stress that I had when I was in corporate, you know, America. Mm-hmm. So right now, we're just not planning to grow the business. We just allow it to organically flourish under what I can provide. As far as the second part of the question is the lack of people not wanting to work. This is a question, because I'm in HR, this is a question that we're dealing with all of the time. Mm-hmm. I believe part of it is a mindset that 2020 really was a reckoning for people. And some people have just chosen to step out of the, I'm going to work for minimum wage and give my life over for that. I'm going to make different choices. So I believe that some people have just family-wise have made different choices that, hey, if it's a family unit that one person can work and one person can stay at home, they're making those choices. I think another is childcare issues are real.
That's true.
They are very, very real. And even if people are fortunate enough to have daycare or kids in school, kids are sick. And once kids get sick, then parents have to be home and take care of sick kids. Or at one point, classrooms were shutting down. And even if classrooms don't shut down, you don't feel good about sending your child to school when they're sick. So I believe that's another issue. So I think there are a lot of issues that create a space where there's not enough bodies for the number of jobs. But I do believe the wage, the fairness, the benefits that people feel have not been in alignment for a long time is a major contributor, and childcare is huge.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, I don't think I even thought about the childcare aspect. I was just thinking, you know, about what you said with 2020 and how it was a reckoning, and people had this epiphany that, hey, I don't have to live this way. I can actually survive without going to a 9-to-5 that I hate. And people have found other ways to other ways to exist. But childcare is also a huge contributing factor. You're right. Well, if you are just joining us on Culture Rich Conversations, I'm Christina Michelle, and I've been speaking with successful business owners, Ms. Tracy Parrish and Ms. Tracy Gatewood, about getting started and owning your own business here in Alaska. We have lots more to cover, and we will do that after a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm Christina Michelle. This afternoon, my guests and I are discussing what it takes to succeed in owning a business here in Alaska. So, jumping back into the conversation, I would love for you to share about how long it took for you to actually start turning a profit. And Ms. Parrish, I know that you purchased your business, so it was already pre-existing, so it might be a different experience for you. And Ms. Gatewood, you have a consulting business, and so I imagine the overhead might be lower than if it were like a storefront or something like that. So not sure what that answer would be for you, but I would love to hear from both of you because I know that's something that stops people a lot of times is, you know, that story that, you know, you're probably going to be in debt going into business. It's going to take you at least 2 to 3 years to turn a profit. Did that ever scare you? Was that your reality? And how long did it take for you to actually start to flourish in your businesses?
So for me, Tracy Parrish, it took me, I would say, about 2 to 3 years before I start noticing a profit. And I'll say it took that amount of time because even though my business was pre-existing, I had to purchase it. So I had debt that I hadn't had before, which means I had to pay back what I loaned, borrowed to be able to secure the business that I was in. Also, something that was very real in life that people don't seem to talk about, but I went through a divorce in that first 3 years or so. So then I'm fighting personal things as well, and trying to, you know, raise my daughter. And so if I was making a profit, I didn't know it because I was spending money so much on all these other things, but I was holding on. So I'll say that first 3 years, after about the first 3 years and all the whoop and the wah went away and life happened, and I was able to settle in and kind of look up and say, oh, okay. And then I had to buy my partners out because I came in as a partnership. So it just seemed like that first year and a half, it was just always something new. And I think that's important for people to realize you get into something with the hopes of one thing happening, but then you have to remember that life is going to happen. And in my life, in this case, like I said, it was a divorce. It was buying out a partner, still had the original loan. So those things are kind of equivalent to people coming into a new business, not having any funds or purchasing from a bank and just sold just them. They still have to pay that money back. So I would say about 3 years, I worked really, really hard to make sure that I took care of all of the people that made it possible for me to be in that business.
Nice. Thank you, Ms. Parrish. Ms. Gatewood?
And for me, you're right. As a consulting business, I don't have a lot of overhead. So from day one, it was profit. But for me, it's been the growth trend that I look at, the increase in revenue, because it's important to be able to eat when you start a business. And for our family, one of the most important things was the health care, because if you step out of the corporate world where you've had this robust benefits and you don't have health care, which I think is a primary benefit, that could be frightening. And as I mentioned before, with my husband retiring, we were able to, I was able to have the insurance through him. Another thing, just in terms of the support, and my husband, it was just, has been just incredibly supportive. We just created an account that was like the Tracy Don't Panic account.
And I love
what that account was and still is okay. So say, for instance, you don't get paid for work that you've done and you're counting on, you know, that money coming through to cover your expenses or, you know, take a personal draw and pay your bills, which is very real. Or there's some unexpected expense that comes up that you're not ready for, or you need to, say, purchase more insurance in order to work with a different client. So we set up that basically contingency account that's there, and it creates a lot of comfort for me that allows me to take a few more risks than nice. I might have otherwise taken. Mm-hmm. If we didn't have that. So what I've seen in this business is from 2016, the revenue has just been on an upward trajectory, because the more that I'm working with people, the more clients I have. I've bumped up my rates twice now, and I'm still surprised when people are like, sure, that's not a problem. We'll pay that, you know, per hour rate. So that's what I've seen with G2 Diversified Services.
Very nice. Can you share any difficulties that you've had along your business journey that you attribute to being a Black-owned business specifically, if any?
Okay, well, I'm from Omaha, Nebraska, and I clearly saw differences in color when I lived in Omaha. It was blatant. It was in my face. Mm. I don't see that in Alaska the same, so I don't go looking for it. Like I tell people, I've been this color for 53 years. It's all I know, and I absolutely love it. So excuses don't excuse me from getting what I want out of life, and I witnessed this from my stepmom, Joyce. You just keep moving. You got to keep going. It's going to happen. So I always have a hard time answering that question, because I've always done what I've worked to do. Not just what I've wanted to do, but what I've worked to do. Mm. So my color may have been an obstacle in my life in different situations, but I can't give you any huge examples that are just in my face, because I'm doing what I want to be doing in my life, and I do what I want to do in life. So I'm just me. And so if somebody's having a problem with me because I'm brown, then they don't tell me. And it has not, to my knowledge, stopped me from being my best me and being able to service my community. So that's how I answer that question.
I love that. Thank you, Ms. Parrish.
Yes.
Ms. Gatewood.
Well, I certainly don't think being a Black female has resulted in me not getting clients or not having good partnerships with the people that I work with. I do think that there have been people who have been taken aback And this is just by that initial reaction, because when you have a name that may not necessarily scream Black lady, and you get into a meeting, you know, you walk into a room or you get onto a Zoom, and there's this kind of the initial like, oh, you're Tracy Gatewood. And, you know, we just kind of keep it rolling. And I have had a couple of clients that I work with, particularly in my anti-racism work that I do, that we can talk about that now, where they were like, well, you know, we heard your name, but we didn't know that you were Black until we actually saw you. And it's fine. As Ms. Parrish stated, I'm living my best life, and the business is thriving, and I feel like being this Black female is allowing me to bring a voice to many businesses that they might not otherwise hear. So I like my brown name.
Excellent.
Also think just being brown me, like Tracy saying, just being brown me, this is all I know, but I have recognized, realized, and people have shown me that it's encouraged other people that look like me to step out there and do the things that they believe in. So I don't want to take that for granted, because I know sometimes people can look at me and it looks easy. It's not easy. But if it's inspiring someone else to try to live out their dream and to work hard to get the things that they want, I think it's beautiful, and brown me is working.
Yes. Thank you so much, ladies. Was there ever a time when you wanted to throw in the towel?
Whew. Okay, yes. I know specifically there were two times for me. Twice. So when I went through the divorce, it was very, very new in my career. I might have been 31, I don't know. But again, remember, I started when I was 29. I'm just trying to figure this out. I had a new baby and everything. So it just, I thought, well, maybe I made the wrong choice. Maybe this isn't for me. It's because at that time, I had to deal with every adult situation that you could possibly have at 31. So I was like, oh no, this, I wasn't ready for this. And I wasn't used to that. So at that time, I started to doubt myself, and I'd hire people. If they come into the job and they were nice, I'd say, can you say this? Thank you for choosing Alaska Pacific Insurance. Have my director call. And if they had a great voice, I'm like, can you start tomorrow? So 1 month, I must have had 30 people working for me, because they were nice and they could answer the phone and they could service the customer. I didn't care if they didn't come back the next day. I just needed them to be nice. I know when you're going through something at work, if you can at least provide the customer service, the opportunity for someone to stay is a lot higher. So that was the first time going through my divorce. And then I had my hips replaced. So I had my hips replaced very young in life. I didn't know. I'm like, well, I don't know why this is happening. So anyway, so I had to have my hips replaced. And two of my key persons at the time, it was Angie and Ty. And Angie was leaving the day I was having surgery, and she wasn't coming back. And Ty was going to be there by herself. And I had this whole office. Who's going to run this office? And so Ty did it. She stepped up, and again, preparing her early on, she did it. So I was afraid of that. So I went through it. I went on to marry my college sweetheart, Averyn, now 17 years, my daughter.
Yay.
I was able to raise her. She's 26 with a beautiful family who's thriving. And she's also an insurance agent with a small business that her and my incredible son-in-law run. And I just kept looking at every day instead of every hour. But I did. I wanted to sell that place so quick, and I had several opportunities to do that, but chose not to for other reasons. I didn't want to let my daughter down. And you know, I'm her mom. I'm teaching her, I'm preaching to her about quitting and stopping, and I had to work. So if you're going to just give this up and then what, go work for someone else? No, you're going to work through this, you're going to work it out, you're going to stand strong like you do.
Yes.
And you're going to figure it out. So again, I couldn't look too far ahead because I was so depressed and sad and frustrated and scared in that moment. I didn't know what was in front of me. So I had to just do it one day at a time. And that's what I did. And just kept my daughter in mind. And we do hard things. That's what we do in this family. We do hard things. And I learned that from my mom. She was the first example of entrepreneurship. Didn't even realize that until maybe 10 years into my business.
Oh, wow.
She owned her own childcare center and at home. And I never, she was just my mom. But I didn't think, but she's my mom, the boss. She's my mom, the entrepreneur. She's my mom making boss moves because she was just my mom. So that's just what we do. And then my grandmother has always told me, if you're going to work somewhere, know everything about it that you can, because you never know what that's going to lead for later. So all those things from the women in my life who do hard things has just stuck in me. And I have pulled on those things at the times where I wanted to quit. But again, I have to work. So why not work for myself?
Love it. Thank you, Ms. Parrish.
Yes.
So self-doubt and wanting to quit. Wow. So yes, absolutely. There have been times where I question whether or not this was the right decision. One of the things with this business is I stretch a lot. So I have core services that I offer. But when I engage with a client, one of the things that I'm doing is the first thing usually is some type of organizational assessment. And even though I may not have ever done the thing that they're needing, I'm stretching myself to figure out how I can help them do it. And so honestly, every single time I get a new client, I'm shocked. It shocks me where it's like, oh my gosh, you know, they want to work with me. I mean, and then, so I, that's quickly followed by, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just making it up as I go. And that's followed by, okay, Tracy, take a deep breath here. You can do this. So I have these feelings, even though, like I said, the business is very successful. I've never had a experience where I'm like, okay, this was just horrible. I have those doubt moments and I just have to work through each one as I go. I think one of the times where I just really thought, hey, this is too frightening for me is the first time that I did a lot of work for a client and did not get paid. Ooh. And it was like, wait a minute, but I have a budget. I have things I need to do here. And I just never expected that. And I don't know why, because I think in any industry, you can have people who will commit to something, but they don't fulfill those commitments. Mm-hmm. And it shook me, but I learned from it, and my professional services agreement or contract that I do, from that experience, I made sure that I took it as something that I could try to put steps in place where I wouldn't have the same type situation where I had devoted time and attention to something and then didn't get compensated. So I learned from it. I've had one other instance where that happened and ultimately did it get paid, but it didn't shake me as much as that first time. I think with being a business of one, every single time that I have something that causes me to question whether or not I'm on the right path, I want to take it as a learning experience so I can build up, strengthen areas that I might not know needed to be strengthened. So again, it's not that I won't ever experience a hardship again, but hopefully what I've gained from experiencing that thing that caused me to question whether or not this was the right thing, hopefully I won't experience that exact same thing again. But as Ms. Parrish stated, I cannot imagine not having this business or going back and working for someone else. If I'm going to do the hard work and put in the blood, sweat, and tears that it takes to be successful in this business, I want to be doing it for me. I want to be doing it right for my family, and I want to be doing it on my own terms.
I love that. Thank you so much, Ms. Gatewood. So let's look towards the future. Imagine it's 2023. What does G2 Diversified Services look like? What does APIA Insurance look like 10 years from now?
For Alaska Pacific Insurance, doing business as APIA Insurance, what it looks like for me is work from home. It looks like whatever is going on in 10 years. So right now, I think the work from home is going to be a big deal. I think offices are not going to be as popular anymore. Like I said, I'm 53. That's still a big deal to people like me. I like to go in. I like to see people. And so I got a good 30 years in this workforce. So I'm good. But in the next 10 years, I see Alaska Pacific Insurance having 50 United States, 50. And we are employing everyone, work from home. And my key people that are my key people now will be my key people then. And we will be managing all 50 states and all the people up underneath there. They may come in as independent contractors. They may come in as employees, but they will, because everyone's going to still need insurance. And I am going to be there to provide that for them. So in 10 years, I see Alaska Pacific Insurance being able to service 50 states and be able to have employees in each one of them.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ms. Parrish. And I'm clapping here, I'm trying to clap quietly, not clapping the mic. But yes, I'm with you on that. Ms. Gatewood, how about you?
So 10 years, that's a very good question. In my fantasy in 10 years, I would have maybe a sub business with my daughter, who is a board certified behavior analyst. She works with kids with autism, and her goal is to start her own business within this, 5 to 10 year window. So I would love for somehow for us to mail those two things to where, I'm providing the business component, she's able to do her passion, and we're able to grow, in a slightly different direction, but still with the focus of just providing help and assistance to organizations around people issues. So I'm dealing with people employees, she's dealing with people families. I'm not sure if I will ever get to a place where it's like I just want a bunch of employees, because I feel like for me, the way that I control the quality of service is I'm doing it myself.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, my bar is high, and my happy place is I've supervised hundreds of employees in my career, and my happy place is not supervising employees right now. I may eventually have to employ a person or two, over the course of the next 10 years, but I'm not sure. So all of that to say, in 10 years, I hope to be able to continue to provide the quality of service that I provide now, and maybe expand into something where I bring more family into the business structure that is currently existing.
Excellent. And I'm applauding you as well, Ms. Gatewood. I'm very excited to hear more in the future about both of your businesses. I thank you so much for being here. As we wrap up this segment, can you share how our listeners can support your business? If they want to work with you, where can they find you? Any social media you want to share? Ms. Parrish, please go first.
Yes, on all our social media platforms, it's under Alaska Pacific Insurance or APIA Insurance, which stands for Alaska Pacific Insurance, APIA. We also, you can reach us on our website at www.alaskapacificinsurance.com. And we're Facebook, we're on every social media platform that there is. We do a lot of TikTok. So if you're having a bad day, go and look at us and we'll kind of increase that. So I wanted to just stress too that, I did not wake up this way, but I worked up this way. So be easy.
Love it. Thank you so much, Ms. Parrish.
Yes. Thank you.
Ms. Gatewood.
And G2 Diversified Services have the website g2diverse.com, also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and other social media. I don't know, part of your question was how can they support the business? I don't know. I'm looking to support individuals and other businesses. So not necessarily looking for support, but what one thing that I would like to point people towards is back in 2017, I started doing weekly business tips, and which were very well received, and they're on Facebook, they're on my website, and they were just every Sunday I would put out some type of business tip to help organizations think about their people, their processes, and how they can do things better. So I invite people to go up and check out some of those business tips. In 2022, I have not done any business tips because, quite frankly, I've been so busy that I haven't had time to come up with these business tips that Good I was reason. Thinking about every week. But I do think the archives that those might be helpful.
Excellent. Thank you, Ms. Gatewood. Well, we certainly covered a lot this afternoon, and I want to thank my guests again, Tracy Parrish and Tracy Gatewood. Tracy Gatewood, the owner of G2 Diversified Services in Anchorage, Alaska, and Tracy Parrish, owner of APIA Insurance in Fairbanks, Alaska. If you're thinking of going...
Anchorage.
I'm so sorry.
Reverse
that.
I apologize. I'm in Fairbanks. Tracy Gatewood.
Tracy right. Gatewood in Fairbanks, Alaska, G2 Diversified Service, and Tracy Parrish, APIA Insurance in Anchorage, Alaska. Yes. All right, cool. If you're thinking of going into business for yourself, I hope we've given you something to think about and some insight that will help you take that step. This is Culture Rich Conversations. I'm Christina Michelle, and we'll be right back. We appreciate our listeners for being here with us, and we look forward to hearing any feedback you may have for us. As this is our sixth episode of season three, we would very much like to hear from you, our listening audience, and answer any questions you may have about what you've heard so far. We may even do an entire episode before the end of the year just answering your questions. Wouldn't that be fun? Please reach out to us. Our email address is junobaa@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook by just searching JunoBAA. And if you would like to mail something to us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 33734, Juneau, Alaska, 99803. Our show today was produced by Natasha Boozer. We'll meet again next week. And in the meantime, may your life be blessed and flow with ease. I'm Christina Michelle, and this has been Culture Rich Conversations.
Culture Rich Conversations is made possible by a grant from the Social Justice Fund Grant Program of the Alaska Community Foundation.